Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, June 29th, 2026. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening in on Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. That's questions, plural. So questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of a website of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also consider our 90-hour court access and the common law course. You can find the link on the front page and on the description below. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab, top right side of the website. We also have Bible studies every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern here in this START meeting room right here. Okay, we're going to have our scripture reading. Okay, we're going to be reading Romans chapter 5. It'll be read by Alexander Scorby. Let me see if I get that started.
Chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, for until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
Okay, Jen, do we have any questions tonight?
We have a couple of announcements first. I only have one question, and it's about 2 pages long, John. I'm going to have to send it back and ask if they shorten it so we can use it.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that too after, but go ahead.
Okay, the first one is, and you're all well aware of this by this time, the 14th Red Pill Expo, sponsored by the Red Pill University, is going to be held in Las Vegas, Nevada, on July 11th and 12th, coming up soon. Best part is it's free to live stream. All you have to do is go sign in, and then you can watch it real time with the program for the whole event, or you can tune in later for up to a month afterwards and get a copy. Even if you're not interested in many of the speakers, I would recommend you go. Just look through the list and read what they're going to talk about. And I think you'll find one or two or three or more that you might find very interesting. I know there's a number of them that I'm going to listen to. I signed up 2 weeks ago now. You can reach them on the internet, and it's in the newsletter, which is an easier way to get it, and then just copy it and paste it. But I'll read it slowly for people if they want to write it down. And if you have your pen or pencil handy, it's https://redpilluniversity.org. redpilluniversity.org. There's no punctuation in it and no spaces in the Red Pill University. /expo, EXPO dash homepage, /, and that'll get it. Get you there and get you a chance to look and see if there's anything of interest to you. Now, this is a second topic here, something we've talked about, and I've been kind of gathering up names and people and interests and so on for probably the last 2 to 3 months. And we had a meeting here this week, and we decided that, you know, we have occasionally new members that come in, and they have particularly useful skills. And some of them would like to volunteer to work with our core group. And even some of the people have been here a long time. I think I had one or two that have been here 11 years. Send me an email. And if you would like to be involved and you have some interesting capabilities that you feel we might be able to use, just send me an email. Jan@nationallibertyalliance.org. And if you could include your contact information a little bit or some idea of your desired schedule and your attributes, and we'll take it there. We're planning now to hold a meeting once a month. It'll probably be a weekday evening, 7:30 or later, depending on where people are. If they're in the East Coast only, we might start that early. If not, it'll probably be 9 o'clock in the evening, and we'll go from there. And the first meeting probably will be a little bit longer than normal because we have a lot to cover. So if anybody's interested in doing that and they want to volunteer and work with us and they have some interesting attributes and so on, or just have the desire and ability to volunteer time and help out, that would be great. Just send me an email, jan@nationallibertyalliance.org. And like I said, John, the one question that I have tonight, it's 2 pages long, and it needs to be redone, and then I have a question. I had several this week that I had to do that with. So that's all that I have tonight, John.
Okay. Yeah, maybe people can focus in on the question that they have, or maybe a correction that they may have to offer or something of that nature. And if they want to get into more detail, they can join us in the queue and expound more, and we can have a conversation too. What we did decide, we were looking at, I think what Jan was talking about, the last Thursday of the month is what we would set aside for talking with people who are interested in doing things. I'm thinking of something different. We did have a meeting about this, so I'm going to propose something a little different than the leadership here will discuss it and think about it and see once which way we'll go. Right now we're set for the last Thursday of the month. But I'm thinking that maybe if someone has something interesting, there's a couple of people recently that, you know, we need to talk to. They have some potential, some things that really can help us, potentially speaking, anyway. So I'm thinking that if anybody contacts us during the week, maybe between, from Monday through Sunday, then that following week, we probably would set something up. We'd send an email out to the leadership and set a meeting for 7:30 Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday. And as Jan said, if it's out west and the time is a problem, we can move that. And if we don't get the email, obviously, then there is nobody that wants to really talk with us. I don't know that we want to do this in general as a in a room with numerous people at a time. I'd like to speak with people individually, but again, we'll discuss that and figure out the best ways to go. The only reason I'm thinking of this because to put someone off for a whole month could be problematic, or we could be in the middle of the month and it could come up very quickly too, so I don't know. Anyway, we'll work that out. Meanwhile, if anybody's interested, just get a hold of Jan at nationallibertyalliance.org. Okay, what else might we have before we get started here? By the way, the queue is open. Let me see if anybody's gotten into the queue yet. Yep, we've got a couple people in the queue already. Good. All right, anybody else wants to get into the queue? It's a *6-1 if you're on a phone. And there should be a button there if you're on an app or browser. But before we get started, a couple of things. We've been talking about Sheriff Dar coming on and speaking with us. We've been taking questions. Some of these questions also for Sheriff Dar have been quite long. We're getting involved with a lot of different things, and we can't read all that stuff because we want to keep things going. We're only here for 2 hours, and we will also have an open forum. So as soon as we take the questions that are coming in, then we'll have other people that will be gathering into the queue for an open forum for a question for Sheriff Dar. So we're going to confirm it now. John, I spoke with John today. He's probably on the call here. But we're set for next Monday. Sheriff Dar will be visiting us. We'll send out information, of course, on our regular Monday newsletter. I'll probably send out a special email, a bulk email, probably in the next couple of days concerning this. We want to get a little bit of momentum for this. We'll start off basically, which we'll hand over the mic to Sheriff Dar, and he might have things to say, whatever he wants to bring up. And then we'll move into the questions that we have, and then into the open forum questions at that point. So anyway, we'll get the word out. People get the word out to others, hopefully, and, people on your social media, if you're involved in this one, that one, or another one, maybe people can spread the word that National Liberty Alliance is going to be having an open forum with Sheriff Dar. Now, Sheriff Dar is, in my opinion, the most knowledgeable of any sheriff I've ever met, and probably the most knowledgeable of all sheriffs that are anywhere in the nation for numerous reasons. He's been very much involved in learning the common law. He's been hanging out with Brent Allen Winters for quite some time, and he's been involved with a lot of the courses that Brent has been given. Sheriff Dar has been working with him in those courses, and again he's extremely knowledgeable, and not only in the Constitution but very importantly, of course, the common law, because the Constitution is a common law document, and common law, of course, ultimately is common sense. Really, it doesn't get much more difficult than that. It's just everything is built upon maxims. So anyway, that's what we got. Now, last week we spoke a little bit about the Supreme Court sending our papers back. We're going to do a little reading tonight, and then we'll go into the open forum. We're probably going to spend maybe, 20 minutes to a half hour. I don't know how long it's going to take to really read through this. It shouldn't take long. It's only a few pages. But what I do want to start off with is the silly letter that these people sent us. This is the letter from the doorkeeper with the Supreme Court. And this individual is beside themselves with what, the way they're writing and what they're writing. They know what a presentment is, and yet they start off with their reference to grand jury presentment to the United States Supreme Court. So right there, that person understood exactly what this paperwork was. And that's in writing with a signature on it. Now, I'm going to read this. This was sent to us on June 4th, 2026. And it says, it starts off with, "Dear Miss NLA," I don't know where they get that from. "We have set ourselves up as the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, care of NLA, Suite 107. We didn't identify ourselves directly as National Liberty Alliance, but yet this is set up in the way that they sent back to us as they put NLA, care of NLA, which I don't know where they got that from. Anyway, they go on. The papers were received on June 4, 2026. These papers failed to comply with the rules of this court and are herewith returned. You may seek review of a decision only by filing a timely petition for a writ of certiorari. I never get to pronounce that name right, but certiorari. Maybe anybody else can pipe in if they can pronounce it better than I can. Certiorari. Anyway, the papers you submit are not construed to be a petition for writ of certiorari. Should you choose to file a petition for a writ, you must submit the petition within the 90-day time limit allowed under Rule 13. I don't even know when the time limit would even start on this, because they didn't take no filing or anything. We're under the Rule 13 of the rules of this court. A copy of the rules of the court and a sample petition for a writ are enclosed. Your case must first be reviewed by the United States Court of Appeals or by a highest state court in which a decision could be had as per 28 U.S.C. 1254 and 1257. And again, that doesn't apply at all. It doesn't make any sense. No lower court can even decide the things that we're talking about. Only the United States Supreme Court can respond to this. There is no other entity that could possibly respond to the paper that we've written. It's the second page, there's only a couple more, maybe another paragraph here. The original jurisdiction of this court does not extend to a suit by an individual against the state. Again, we're not an individual, and we have nothing going up against the state. The original jurisdiction of the court generally extends only to cases or controversies between two or more states, or between the United States and one more state. 28 U.S.C. 1251 and Rule 17 of the rules of this court. The 11th Amendment amends the language of the Constitution and holds that the judicial power of the United States does not extend to any suit commenced or prosecuted against a state by a citizen of another state. The Supreme Court has subsequently held numerous times that states cannot be sued without their consent, and that the 11th Amendment bars suits brought against the state by the citizen of a state. Now, again, none of this applies to us. All of this is really silly. And they talk about so many different things, but they don't address the paper that was filed with them. So anyway, we responded, and that's the letter we're going to read now. And we will post this letter. Matter of fact, I already have posted this letter up on our front page. Let me go to it real quick. You could read, if you haven't read, and we did read this live online, the grand jury presentment to the United States Supreme Court, right here, you can read the presentment to the court. You can read the cover letter that we put together. I think that cover letter is applying to the administration, Trump administration, because they all got copies of this. You can read the response letter from SCOTUS, which is the doorkeeper. We just read that. And you can read the response letter to SCOTUS, the doorkeeper, which we're going to read right now. So a copy is up here. This copy is I added a couple of words here or there, nothing big. So I'm going to have to change this maybe later tomorrow. I'll get rid of this letter and put up the letter that will probably be going out. We're still up for any corrections or anything that people might have to offer us concerning our response here to the doorkeeper of the United States Supreme Court. Now, we did address the individuals that we addressed. Let's see. Okay, we addressed this, the chief clerk, okay, which originally we addressed and sent our paperwork to. But the chief clerk, Scott S. Harris, didn't respond to us. Instead, Clerk Robert Meek responded to us in the name of Chief Clerk Scott. So this letter is going to go out to both of them. And we will be sending a copy of this letter also to the Trump administration, all of the individuals that we'd copied the original paperwork to the Supreme Court. Well, again, we're copying everything, and a copy of the letter that they sent back will also be attached to that. But here's what we've written so far, and again, if anybody has anything that they think that they can add to this or assist in some way, that'd be fine. We can bring that up in the conversation tonight. Okay, so the reference is for an unlawful rejection of the grand jury presentment to the United States Supreme Court. We note that you acknowledged that you received the presentment from the grand jury and returned it on June 4, 2026. See copy of your letter of acknowledgement attached. Please note, we did not file a lawsuit or a request. We filed an extraordinary presentment from the grand jury, addressed to the justices of the United States Supreme Court concerning a national emergency. As per 18 U.S.C. subsection 2076, the clerk is required by law to file under the penalty of law, a law which you have twice broken. Experience with the offices of de facto courts lead us to perceive that you attempted to confuse jurisdictions that many believe will protect them from liability. It won't, because it's all part of the fraud and subversion to destroy our republic. By responding to us as a person, when in fact we are we the people, as understood in the preamble of the United States Constitution, also known as the sovereign lawmakers. Furthermore, your re, which stands for with regard or relations to, in your letter to us clarifies that you understand that our papers are a grand jury presentment, not an action at law. As you know, being a lawyer, in law, a presentment is an accusation of a crime made by a grand jury on its own initiative. Take judicial notice that Black's Law, quoting... maybe I should... do we have the... Well, the queue should be open. Yeah, all right. Anyway, take judicial notice that Black's Law, quoting, and I'm not going to read through all of the identifications for this, but it's quoting Bennett versus Kalamazoo. Criminal practice, this is criminal practice, the written notice taken by a grand jury of any officer from their own knowledge or observation. Someone needs to get their mic out there.
All right, the windows.
Someone... Someone needs to mute their mic. Hello. All right.
You have your mic muted, Ellen.
Okay. I thought we had the... All right, anyway, the queue is open. Everybody should be muted. I don't know why they're talking here. Anyway, let me go back. Take judicial notice that Black's Law, quoting for Bennett versus Kalamazoo, states criminal practice, the written notice taken by a grand jury of any offense from their own knowledge or observation without any bill of indictment laid before them at the suit of the government. Bouvier's law, quoting Vide Brock, CCR 156, grand jury stating, the writing which contains the accusation so presented by a grand jury is also called a presentment. Okay, furthermore, clearly Rule 13 has nothing to do concerning we the people's presentment. There are no rules that govern the grand jury. We are free and independent. You have no authority over us. We the people have been providentially provided legal recourse to address the criminal conduct of persons themselves entrusted to dispense justice. See United States versus Williams. The authority to judge what are the powers of the government and what are the liabilities of the people must necessarily be vested in one or the other of the parties themselves, the government or the people, because there is no third party to whom it can be entrusted. If the authority be vested in the government is absolute, and the people have no liberties except such as the government sees fit to indulge them with. And that was, let me see, I've got a footnote on that. Yeah, Lysander Spooner on trial by jury in 1852. Okay, the grand jury is we the people, whereas we the people ordained and established the Constitution for the United States of America, that you took an oath to uphold and obey. We the people are sovereign. Sovereignty itself is, of course, not subject to the law, for it is the author and source of law. But in our system, while sovereign powers are delegated to the agencies of government, sovereignty itself remains with the people, by whom and for whom all government exists, and the acts of the law, which is the U.S. Constitution, is the definition and limitation of that power. Natural law is written by nature's God in his word and written in the heart, on the hearts of men. This is why we the people have the power of nullification. We the people did not vest the judiciary with law and rulemaking powers. Article 3 is the limitation of their powers. Whereas in 1938, the Supreme Court, in an act of treason, wrote rules that had been implemented as law and thereby covertly, but not lawfully, abrogated the law of the land by changing natural law to civil law, which traces its origin back to Babylonian law, as they methodically and seditiously abrogated and concealed our natural law courts and abrogated the sovereign writs of we the people. You know, I think there's five powerful writs for the sovereign. It's our writs, the people's writs, to be able to apply on them, and their rules negated them. Anyway, equity under our Constitution is subject to our founding documents, written by we the people, by the authority vested in us by nature's God via the Declaration of Independence, which was a covenant with God and therefore cannot be broken but by his wrath. Thereby we the people vested Congress with positive lawmaking powers, also known as equity, whose legislative powers are governed by the rules of natural law, whereas Article 1 is the limitation of that of their powers. Congress had no authority to create new powers, granting the United States Supreme Court with additional powers such as rulemaking, and allegedly and covertly abrogated natural law, also known as the law of the land. Neither the U.S. Supreme Court nor Congress is sovereign. We the people granted them powers and authorities within jurisdictions that we ordained and established. Therefore, your rules are repugnant and herein are nullified. Your preposterous claim that the grand jury is to seek decision in a federal district court is absurd. You and I both know that they cannot respond to this presentment, which is an indictment upon them. Clearly, you did not read the cover letter, one page, file on demand under penalty of law, one page, an extraordinary presentment, 12 pages, or you are covering up subversion against our republic and thereby complicit. You just can't be that ignorant to the law considering you are a lawyer. we strongly advise that you read said 14 pages, honor your oath, and deliver the presentment to the nine justices. To reject our presentment as doorkeepers, an act of aiding and abetting those guilty of treason, advocating the overthrow of our republic, and thereby levering war against the United States in violation of 18 U.S.C. subsection 2381, subsection 2384, subsection 2385, which is the subject matter of said presentment. With that said, you are bound by law, just as we are, you being under 18 U.S.C. subsection 2382, and we being under the laws of nature's God, that we must disclose and make known the same concerning treason to the President or some judge of the United States, and we have done both. Whereas your blocking of the filing of said presentment is also in violation of 18 U.S.C. subsection 2076 and 2071. It is true, a bar lawyer, it is true, being a bar lawyer, that you have been instructed in fake law, thereby believing that the United States was fashioned under Rome and is under Roman civil law. Thereby you believe that we are under that defective thinking, in that we the people need your approval via your repugnant rules, making you the master and we the people subservient to you. I direct you to the true history of our founding. At the founding of the United States, the land of America was looked upon as representing a new Jerusalem and or a city upon a hill and or new Israel. One of the first settlements in which in what would become the United States was by the Puritans in England. Independently, many Puritans took up and applied the older idea that England enjoyed a covenant with God, a covenant of grace, they called it, even if they hesitated at first about whether the promised land was to be found in the New England or the Old. Puritan minister John Cotton preached the land of promise to Puritan voyagers aboard the Arbella as they were about to set sail from Southampton in 1630. During his text from 2 Samuel 7:10. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel. Remember, the word Israel identifies with the sons of God. Israel is my son, the Bible tells us. All right, anyway, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people, Israel, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. The United States is that place, and Christians are God's people, whereas the Bible reveals Israel is my son. Sons. No one can deny that most of our founding fathers of the United States of America were men of deep religious convictions, being his children, based in the Bible and their Christian faith in Jesus Christ. Of the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, nearly half, 24, held seminary or Bible school degrees. Patrick Henry said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, peoples of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here." Noah Webster, father of American scholarship and education, said, "No truth is more evident to my mind than that the Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the rights and privileges of a free people." In conclusion, history recalls that we are a Christian nation under the laws of nature's and of nature's God, and we are structured under Israel via the book of Deuteronomy. In conclusion, your duty as a clerk is to file, as clearly stated in 18 U.S.C. subsection 2076. Clerk is to file. Whoever being a clerk of a district court of the United States willfully refuses or neglects to make or forward any report, certificate, statement, or document as required by law, shall, and we read the law that they are required, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. You are hereby ordered and required by law under 18 U.S.C. subsection 2881, 2382, 2384, 2385, 2076, 2071, and most importantly, the Constitution for the United States, to make 9 copies of the enclosed presentment and deliver to the 9 justices immediately. We also demand that you send us a letter confirming that you have done so. And then we got a seal on it and signature of the grand jury and the individuals we are copying. Okay, so that brings us to the end of that paper. That's the paper that's probably going to go out in the next day or two. We will file with the Supreme Court, you know, within a few days. But we do have to send filings out to a bunch of other people. We'll see what kind of monies we have. It may take a little while before we can get that out. Of course, if anybody wants to donate, we'd really appreciate, because we do need money for this particular project. This is really the most important work that we're doing, trying to get our courts of justices open up again and to bring us back under the Constitution, where the people that are working for government, whether they're elected, appointed, or just hired help, they need to be obedient to the people. They need to be respectful to the people. And they have to stop thinking that they are the masters and that we are their, well, they treat us like slaves. They treat us like chattel, livestock. So anyway, we need people's support on this. So we'll get this out, and hopefully all of it out within a week. But if not, it may take a couple of weeks. Okay, let's see what else we do have here. Okay, here's a paper I put together. I'm just going to quickly breeze through this. This is we got July 4th obviously coming up. I believe it's coming up on this Saturday. People will be attending different events for 4th of July. They'll be watching parades in their local areas and so on and so forth. And this is a great opportunity to help to grow National Liberty Alliance. We need people. We really, really need to hit critical mass. To really be successful, we have to hit critical mass. Because to be successful, we have to go professional. You know, right now we're volunteers, but we have to go professional. We need people working on things, 40 hours a week, each individual, as a full-time job. and there's a lot to be done. You know, we're doing the best we can to do what we can do. You know, I've written quite a few books trying to educate people. Of course, we have the website put together to educate people. Education is the key. So this is the flyer I put together, and I hope that people will download this flyer, maybe print up 100 on your computer, on your copy machine or more, okay? Try to get other people involved, get them to hand out copies. And I'll be putting out this message concerning this particular flyer also probably in the next day or two. And we'll follow back up on reminding people right before the 4th, probably then on Friday. And as far as the other paper is concerned, well, that's already posted, so people can download it, and we'll make note of that. And Jan will remind the people again. Also, we'll be reminding the people probably in the next day or so. I'll put this together an email. I'll try to keep it short, maybe a sentence for each point, or maybe 2 sentences for each point. One being the 4th of July flyer, of course. The other being the paper that we're sending to the Supreme Court. And the third being that Sheriff Darr will be here to speak with us next Monday. He will have the full program. I'll pass everything over to John, who is going to do the interview with Sheriff Darr. He knows Sheriff Darr pretty well, going through the questions and so on and so forth, and we'll work that process out. So next Monday, we'll just begin with, in our basic welcome and Bible reading. If there's a short question that Jan may have and that I can deal with in a couple of minutes, then we'll probably handle those questions. But all questions at this point really should be directed towards Sheriff Dar. If you have any questions for Sheriff Dar, you can send them to questions, plural, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Okay, so this is the paper now that I really would hopefully that people are going to get involved. Look at, hopefully people realize, and I got to believe the people that come often, they understand, and we have people that visit sometimes, they don't get the whole picture of what we're doing, the severity of what we're doing, the importance, and that only the people can save the Republic. Donald Trump cannot save the Republic, nor can his administration. He can set the stage and bring it back and give it to us. But the people have to know what to do with it. Because if the people are ignorant, then they don't know what to do, and they don't take control of their government, because that's what we need to do through committees of safety. Our founding fathers set all that up for us. But we've lost it in history. It was really hidden, and of course they haven't been giving us an education, not a proper education. People don't know civics, they don't know the Constitution, they don't understand the law. And there's much ignorance on things that we should know. And that's what National Liberty Alliance is all about, to teach the things that you were never taught. And we covered it all, and then we have even a further education than that if people want to take it up. So we've got a lot of stuff going here. But let me read this real quick, and then we're going to go to questions. So the flyer starts off with, "Make America a Republic Again." Only the people can save the Republic. Will you? John Adams said, "Liberty once lost is lost forever." Thomas Jefferson said, "If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. Self-government is not possible unless the citizens are educated sufficiently to enable them to exercise oversight. It is therefore imperative that the nation see to it that a suitable education be provided for all its citizens. For I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional powers. Educate and inform the whole mass of the people. They are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty. An enlightened citizenry is indispensable for a proper functioning of a republic." You know, government was supposed to supply that education, and they have not. We, the people, need to take control of that. We need to supply it ourselves. We need to make sure that our children learn what they need to know. They need to know their civics. They need to know the Constitution. They need to know the law. Every child, by the time they go through K through 12, should be able to come out and take care of their business in court. It's not a very difficult thing to do. And over a course of 12 years, we can easily teach every child how to take care of their own business. James Madison said, knowledge will forever govern ignorance. And a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power knowledge gives. Joseph Stalin said, "America is like a healthy body, and its resistance is threefold, its patriotism, its morality, and its spiritual life. If we can undermine these three areas, America will collapse from within." And we're very close to that. Samuel Adams said, "If ever a time should come that vain and inspiring man should possess the highest seats in government, our country will be in need of its experienced patriots to prevent its ruin." And an experienced patriot is someone who knows the law, who knows and understands the Constitution, the powers and the authorities of the people, the power of the committees of safety, the grassroots ours to take this country and maintain this country. America is a common law republic. Our heritage is in the law. Our inheritance is liberty. If we do not know the law, you cannot know or defend liberty. National Liberty Alliance teach, NLA teach, that probably should be teaches, so I have to fix that. NLA teaches everything you should have been taught in school. Join our Monday night open forum, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Learn how we the people can save our republic. The mission and purpose of National Liberty Alliance is to provide an online national venue where people can organize, communicate, and learn the science of government by consent. And then we list the courses. We got a free foundation course, a free constitutional course, a free civics course, free militia course, government by consent course, jury administrators course. We have a free American history lectures. We have free articles and essays and much, much more. We have court access and the common law course. This is a comprehensive 90-hour law course for only $125, whereas an average 40 to 50-hour college law course on civil procedure is 5 credits at about $2,500 per credit, equaling about $12,500. This course will teach due process, how our common law courts work, and the common law. Find out more, you go to their website, or National Liberty Alliance. Also, the following books can be found on National Liberty Alliance, Government by Consent, Make America a Republic Again. That's my latest book. Just finished that about a week or two ago. By the way, the book Make America a Republic Again, some people told me that Government by Consent, a lot of people wouldn't bother reading such a big book. It's 550 pages. It's an 8.5 by 11.5 book. It's hardcover, made it as cheap as possible. And I don't remember, I think it's 11 font, I don't remember. But the point is, there's a lot of stuff in there. And unfortunately, people don't read these days, but my wife mentioned it to me, and other people have mentioned to me, a lot of people aren't going to get that book because it's too long. And that's why I wrote the book recently, Make America a Republic Again. So basically, I kind of made, the big book, Government by Consent, down to the minimum amount of knowledge that people should have and how they can take back this nation, how they can participate by joining starting a committee of safety within your county. For this is the tool that our founding fathers used to govern themselves, to prepare themselves to take, first of all, the First Continental Congress, the Second Continental Congress, the Declaration of Independence, and then, of course, fighting the war and then debating the Constitution. All of that was done by people in committees of safety. All of our founding fathers were in the committees of safety. And this is the process they gave to we, the people, that have been hidden, destroyed. Okay? But this is the process they gave to us to control our government. We can control every aspect of our government if the people understood to step up and give a couple of hours a month to the saving of our republic and the maintaining of our republic. It's our duty to do that. The republic cannot defend itself. The Constitution cannot defend itself. We the people have to do that. And we have to be knowledgeable of these things. So people need to realize they need a better education than what they've had. I don't care if you have doctrines in anything. You haven't had this education. And if you listen to the people who represent us, clearly they haven't had this education because they're way off base. We the people need to correct this and bring them back in. All right, well, let me finish this off. Okay, the books that I've written, Court Access in the Common Law, Memorandums of Common Law, Understanding the Federal Courts, County Committees of Safety, Committee Man Handbook, County Committee of Safety, Common Law Handbook, Common Law Pettigrew Handbook, Common Law Grand Jury Handbook, Founding Documents of the United States Handbook, County Sheriff Common Law Handbook, Common Law Court Handbook, Common Law Handbook, A Study of Parables in the Book of Revelation, Harmony of the Gospels, King James Version, What Must I Do to Be Saved, and When is the Rapture? And at the bottom here, we ended up with Psalms 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Okay, so hopefully people will download this paper. We will be sending this out in an email tomorrow, be attached to an email, but we will also put it up on the website. Let me think where we'll put it. You know what? I may put it here, okay, and just put underneath here and put flyer, National Liberty Alliance flyer. Let me think if there's a better place to put it. I don't know, Jan, Terry, maybe you guys can take a look, or Eric, and think of it a better place other than under the Welcome tab. But we'll put it in here. It'll be labeled NLA Flyer. It'll always be up there. People can use this flyer for any event, anything going on. If people go out to the Red Pill, for instance, make a bunch of flyers, a couple of hundred. You know, I know when I went to the Red Pill, I don't remember, maybe 1,000 flyers, maybe more than that, and we had some handbooks, free handbooks we were able to hand out. I think we had a couple of hundred of them. Just try to get the word out, you know. Because, again, our success is dependent upon education. Our success is dependent upon critical mass. Our success is dependent upon you. You know, we can only do so much, but it's the people's job to take care of this business. It's the people's job to get people involved, to spread the news. And we need to, and we have a plan on how to get a proper education into our schools. And we also, I mentioned this before, I had spoken with Brent Allen Winters. Many people here know Brent Allen Winters. He's a common law lawyer. He wrote the book, The Excellence of the Common Law. He works with Sheriff Darr. That's why Darr is really as advanced as he actually is, I believe. He was advanced as a sheriff before he met Brent, but nevertheless, his knowledge has really expanded in the common law, just like mine has through Brent. So Brent and I spoke a while back that if we can get the funding, we'll put together textbooks from K through 12. That will give a proper education. You know, every year that they go through, it's 13 years, K through 12, you know. 13 years in school, okay. Every year they should be learning something new about who we are as a people, that we're a Christian nation. We also need to get the Bible back in school because we have to be under the doctrines of Christ. Nobody can argue the doctrines of Christ, the morality, the power, the authority of those doctrines that Christ has given in the four Gospels that we read. Children need to know how to walk into a courtroom and how to take care of their own business. Sometimes it is wise to hire a lawyer to assist you, okay? If you're in a case that's a criminal case, I don't know, maybe it is wise to have the lawyer be as the lead person, but you still have to control that lawyer. You know, the purpose of lawyers is very important, the lawyers. The problem is the Bar Association that taught them all these lies, the fake law. You know, it's really easy to fix that if only they would open their ears and open their eyes and understand, because...
so long to get back on Zoom. I forgot what my question was.
Are you talking to me, Jan? Anyway,
I don't know. You just disappeared. I had to sign back in again.
Oh. Is there the people hearing me? Have anybody else been locked out or anything? Eric? Well, hopefully we're going through. It is recorded anyway. It will be up on YouTube, and it will be up on Rumble.
You know, John does these old tricks. I learned about 11 years ago, you should never proof anything he writes until he says, I'm going to send it out tomorrow at 9 o'clock, because it'll change and you send him the changes and he won't put them in, and you got to go through the whole damn thing word by word again.
Well, next time what I'll do is I'll red letter them, because I meant to do that when the changes I made on the last one. So, all right, anyway, back to what we're doing here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Can you hear us? All right.
You need
anyway.
To mute your mic, Jan.
All right, there he is. All right, anyway, I muted him for him. He can unmute himself if he needs to. All right, anyway, I'm trying to think where I was. Textbooks. So, and I think we can probably find a couple other people that are knowledgeable in the common law and in the history and who have a background in maybe, you know, as an author or something that could be helpful to us and work with us. And also, I know we have a few people that are educators, okay, that are with us here at National Liberty Alliance. Maybe we can get a couple of those people to work with us. And collectively and together, we can put together a proper education for our children and get it into the schools. And we can show people how that could be done. We can do that. But it takes the people across the nation. We need to get at least maybe two-thirds of the counties operating as committees of safety, and eventually, of course, all of them. Or maybe even just half, and we start working on these things hardcore. But we could start working on the books right away if we have the funding to do that. We don't have the funding. Critical mass will give us that funding because, you know, if we get a large enough group of people, you know, a small percentage of people actually support whatever's going on. And if you have critical mass, that small percentage could be thousands of people. And thousands of people giving $5 a month is a lot of money. And that's sufficient to be able to pay salaries and get this going professionally. Or someone with deep pockets who sees the value of what we're doing here and gives us the money to do it. So those are the two ways. We're not depending on that. We're going to depend on the people. We're going to depend on people getting out people. It's your job. It's my job. It's our job to get this message out, get people educated, get people involved, and move forward. Okay, I guess that brings to the end. I don't know if anybody in the leadership has anything to add here. And then we're going to move here to the Q&A here. Q&A is open. Anybody that wants to get into the queue, *6 and 1 if you're on a phone. App or browser, should be a button. Okay, I guess nobody's got anything, so we'll go to the queue here. Okay, first person, Terry. You got the mic. Go right ahead, Terry.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good.
Hey, I was wondering if I could just talk to, you know, Jan and Terry and Eric and Alan, or if anybody else, I can just hear from them also here tonight. Is that something I could ask of you guys?
Yeah, they can pipe in anytime they want.
Yeah. I'm kind of addressing it to everybody that's here tonight because, you know, we can't see anybody else that's here, so all I can see is, you know, you five.
Mm-hmm.
So what I have to say is that innocence and guilty and our rights have long existed before America, before England, you know, before our Constitution, before the state's Constitution, before the states existed. Everything came down to Jesus Christ, our innocence or our guilt, and our rights. And that is what the truth is. What I want to say to you guys, I say this with love, I say this with respect, I do not say this to offend anybody. The problem we have is that our courts and our public servants are violating our rights with premeditation using their laws. And going to the people and begging them to stop kidnapping us and to stop stealing from us and to stop violating our rights and to stop victimizing us is a fool's game. And what I'm saying is I'm not calling anybody a fool. I'm saying it's a fool's game to write these. I've done this. I've done it to the Minnesota Appeals Court. I've done the same thing with the Supreme Court. I've done it with seven local courts. And they don't have a clue. We have a Supreme Court justice who can't even define what a woman is because she's not a biology major. I mean, we have the most incompetent judges, and the worst are literally up on the Supreme Court. I'm not talking about Clarence Thomas or a few others, but I'm talking about the rest that they don't have a clue what a right is. They don't have a clue what an innocent person is. They don't have a clue what a guilty person is. They pick and choose which innocent person to defend and which innocent person to victimize. And I would just like some feedback from you guys on what is the truth. Not my truth, not anybody else's truth. That is the truth. Everything in a court comes down to being innocent and having rights violated and who violated those rights. And if our courts and our public servants, they're literally writing laws to violate us. One of them is we have the right to own our homes, and they have given themselves permission that if we own a home and we don't pay them, we can't stay in our homes. That is literally writing a law of larceny is what it is. And so there are so many of this that's going on. It's just not larceny that's happening. They've authorized murder, they've authorized larceny, they've authorized theft in many different ways. And so I'm not looking for a battle with anybody. I think we're all on the same team. I know that I am an innocent human being, and I know that every one of our public servants is guilty because they are guilty until they've been punished for their crimes. And those laws that we refer to here, none of those are about rights. They're about violating rights. And so I'll yield and listen to your guys' feedback.
All right. Does anybody want to respond to that? I will too, but I'll see if anybody else wants to respond first.
Well, I would like to say a couple of words, and that is that, Terry, I agree with you. And it's the structure that they have constructed away from common law. Go back and read the Rules Enabling Act of 1934, June 19, 1934. And you can see how the rules of the court became more important than everybody's rights. As a matter of fact, they had Congress had to remind the courts, and they were talking to the Supreme Court because they gave a power they did not have to the Supreme Court to write the rules of the court. And they reminded them that, hey, you got to keep that power of a grand jury in Amendment 7. They narrowed that out specifically, which to me, because they didn't mention anything else, they said you could ride over it. And they have been. And every lawyer that's graduated since those rules became in effect has not learned anything except those rules of the court. Makes it real good for them, but we lost common law. So that's all I got to say. I yield.
Amen, Terry. Go ahead.
Let's see if anybody else has anything to say on that. Jan, if you want to respond, or Eric, and I'll make a small response also. All right, well, if anybody comes up with something, pipe in. Let me respond to that. Again, we're saying the same thing in a different way. We already know all the things you've said, so we do appreciate that. We do agree with that. We may see things on how to deal with the problem differently. You call it a fool's game, and if I understood it correctly, is the fact that we're trying to talk to the Supreme Court to bring them to a place where they should be, in other words, bring them to correction. But I was very naive in the beginning. When I started to look into law, I figured we're going to fix things in the courts, and I started studying law, and so I was very naive, okay? only to come to realize how serious the subversion was. And this is large, very large, goes down into every state, every county, every town. And so it's a big problem to deal with. But it's not a fool's game from the standpoint of, I've come to learn, I'm speaking to the people. I'm not speaking necessarily to them because they got closed ears. They don't want to hear. Maybe you might wake someone up, okay? This foot, let's take this doorkeeper that we're writing a letter to, all right? When they read this paper, they understand what I wrote there. That I know. There's no doubt about it. They know what all those laws were, those codes that I put in there. They're very serious charges. And they are, he and the other, all these clerks, actually, they're all guilty of this. And so is the United States Supreme Court, the justices. You know, they've come up the way that any other lawyers come up, starting from the beginning, learning. And then, you know, maybe some of them have discovered the problem, but they're stuck between a rock and a hard place, and they really can't do much. We're giving them the opportunity to do something. We need to get this message to them because we're giving them an opportunity. And if they fail to seize the opportunity, they become guilty of subversion. They become traitors. Because it's a serious paper that we had written. The original presentment, which I believe I said was 12 pages, you know, then there's a lot beyond that that just brings knowledge of those 12 pages. But, you know, again, it's important because the people should be reading it. When the people read it, it becomes an education. They come to understand. You know, again, people who don't know much about law at all, and maybe they don't understand everything we're talking about. Not that we talk much about law from the because common law really is common sense. That people understand. Thomas Jefferson said the same thing, you know, just talk in plain language, okay? But when we talk about the codes and stuff, you know, we don't lay... I used to write them out, but I don't write them out. People can look them up. They're very powerful, and it really puts these people in a position where they find themselves guilty of subversion. Also, the fact that the duty of a clerk, okay, is to file the papers. They don't have any... It just has to be, you know, the front... The page just has to... Well, let me see if I can find out what they wrote here. Hang on a second. I think I have it in the letter here. I think it is in this letter. It should be on a footnote. I only have a couple of footnotes in here. Okay, I didn't have it in a footnote. So, but in any event, they understand that, okay? And maybe we can break through to one of these clerks from the standpoint of coming to realize, wow, this is serious. If I send this back, I am guilty of that law. And if I do prevent that from going forward, I do become complicit. Because the law to control them is absolutely crystal clear. If you are aware of subversion against the United States, against the people, against the Republic, if you are aware of that, you must report it to some to the president or some judge or to a governor. You must report it. It's the law. We have the same law, but it is, of course, the common law, natural law, because it's just common sense that you have to report it. And if you cover it up and don't report it, you become complicit. So that's why the papers are so important. We've been filing papers for many years now. I don't remember exactly when we started filing, maybe 2014, maybe 2015, somewhere around there, I think. But we started filing papers, and we realized that we're not going to get anywhere with these people. But we got to make, we got to show the evidence. We got to lay it out. All the papers, and we have filed hundreds and hundreds of papers, okay? Hundreds of cases, and all going up to the federal courts. And what they have done is they have proved conspiracy by their actions. every single one of them respond in the same way. It doesn't matter whether it's a federal judge in the state of Washington or New York or Texas or California or Maryland. It doesn't matter where they're at. Every one of these federal judges have responded in the same way, and that proves conspiracy. Okay? So we agree with what you're saying, but you have to do something. And again, if it does nothing for them, it does something for the people. Because at some point in time, it's all about exposure. It's all about people seeing and understanding. And Trump is waking them up. His administration is waking them up, waking up the people. And we have that opportunity to assist in waking up the people, too, also especially through our paperwork and the education that we offer here. So, but again, I agree with pretty much everything you say. I think you use the word innocence constantly over and over again. People are not familiar with that. I understand what you're saying, but if we're going to be talking to these people, let's use the language that they do understand, the language that we understand, the language that is of natural law, clear, plain language. I've never heard, by the way, if there's something maybe you can refer us to somewhere where this word or idea of innocence is really portrayed in a way that it's used in the courts or used somewhere, more information on...
I can give you that, John. It's like you said, it's common sense.
Yeah.
The innocent cannot commit a crime. You have to violate a right in order to be guilty of a crime. If you didn't violate a right, you are innocent. That's common sense. So if you're in a court, you didn't violate a right, then the court is violating a right of yours because they're violating the right of due process because you've not committed a crime. You cannot commit a crime unless you violate a right. An innocent person cannot commit a crime. Only a guilty person can commit a crime. If you're prosecuting an innocent person, you are the person committing a crime. It's government of the innocent people, by the innocent people, for the innocent people. It's not a government of the guilty employees, by the guilty employees, for the guilty employees. So that's why I'm saying never beg, or the word is petition in your reply is never beg the guilty.
There's no petition here. There is no petition.
The word petition is used in yours. You're petitioning them. You're petitioning.
We're not petitioning them. We're giving them. We're giving them a presentment. We're declaring.
The word petition is in there. You were giving them a petition, and so what? Going to them is petitioning them, and they're going, we're not going to hear what you have to say because they have no idea that they're committing these crimes.
I can't believe the word petition is in there, and I just did a word search on it, and there are no matches found for petition. I did not use...
Not in your response in the one before.
I never used the word petition.
In the one before, the word petition was there. Not in the one you have up here. The one before.
You're talking their letter. The letter from them.
I don't know. I just thought, what I'm saying is you're going to them and you're asking them to do something when they don't even know that they're the ones that are committing the crimes. And so it isn't about the word petition. It's about the word innocent, and it's about right violations. That was my first point. You have to violate a right in order to be guilty. And so what they're doing is they're writing laws to make the innocent guilty. You cannot make an innocent person guilty, and that's what they're doing. That's just common sense.
I understand that. Look, and you've said this many times. I mean, we get it. We understand what you're saying.
No, but you asked me what it was, and I just told you what it was.
We don't disagree with what you're saying, but as far as, the words that I would choose to use is constitutional words, common law words that are...
I don't defend the Constitution. I defend the innocent. I don't defend the Constitution. It's a piece of paper that talks about our rights. I do not defend the... I defend the innocent, and so are they. They're supposed to defend the innocent, not victimize the innocent.
It's a lot more than writing our rights down, and again, it's only the...
I didn't say what's about. Right.
It's only the major rights that we really list. There's a lot more rights than what we've written in the Constitution. But what the Constitution is ordained and established by the people. It is the law of the land that we, the people, wrote that they must obey. And that's why it's so important that the Constitution, in Article 1, we laid out the powers and the authorities and the jurisdictions, okay, of the legislators. You know, in Article 2, we laid out the power and the authority for the administration. And in Article 3, we laid out the powers and the authorities and the jurisdiction of the courts. And so they're not to, they don't have any more powers or authorities, or they can't have any other jurisdiction other than we have given them on that paper, on that document. And that's why it is the most important document that this nation has. It's the foundational document, of course, is the Declaration of Independence, which places us under the laws of nature and of nature's God. And it's a covenant with God that we made to be under his law and receive his blessings. And in the Constitution itself, on the preamble, I mean, one of the things we told them in the preamble is they are to secure the blessings of liberty. Okay? And the Bill of Rights is the ruler by which we judge all everything they do, because once they violate a right, then that is unlawful. And so the Bill of Rights is important. All these things are important. It's what we the people wrote, okay? And it's what they ought to obey. And when they go beyond that, then they broke their oath, and they're guilty. They could be guilty of subversion.
I'll end with this: innocent until proven guilty is one of the things that they use in the court. If you do not know what an innocent person is, you cannot know what a guilty person is.
Absolutely.
Innocent until proven guilty. There is no such thing as the not guilty person. There's only innocent people and guilty people. Not guilty is being half pregnant. And so I will end with that.
I can't argue with that. And of course, that is that's a common law maxim: innocent until proven guilty. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to go to our next caller. Thank you, Terry. All right. Let's see. We have 702 area code. Maybe you can give us your first name and your state. I see OM something.
Hey. Hey, John. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Well,
first name and state.
It's Tara. I'm calling from California.
Oh, okay.
I called you last week, too, and spoke to you about a few things. And I like the discussion, and it always just perplexes me why all these attorneys in the U.S., I mean, we have an overabundance. There's too many of them. And yet, they're virtually all traitors if they're bar lawyers. And how does not one of them speak up? Or not, let's say, even a few of them, to try to change the system, or even, let's say, the Supreme Court. Like, how can this system keep going and going without either it totally collapsing upon itself, or there be a revolution about it? Just that we keep, you know, it's like the big elephant in the room that just nobody mentions, and the elephant stinks now, and now it's rotting, and people are still ignoring the elephant. It's like, how long can we keep going like this? And why is there just such a lack of interest in changing it? It's shocking to me. I mean, honestly, to be honest, I didn't really know about this stuff until I started studying with National Liberty Alliance. I really didn't know.
They're in your answer, by the way, but go ahead.
I mean,
the problem is ignorance, and the people are ignorant. Look, people may be bright, they may be intelligent, they may be masters of certain things, they have doctrines in certain areas, and they may be very, very good at what they're doing. But when it comes to who we are as a people, they are totally ignorant. When it comes to the law of the land, they are totally ignorant, and the law of the land being the three founding documents. They're totally ignorant. They have no knowledge. The only thing they have is whatever they were given in school, which is very little. We didn't get good civics courses. We didn't get constitutional courses. We didn't get law courses. We should have gotten all those things.
Yeah.
You know, law is important, okay? And that is why when you take a person that's ignorant to all of these things in coming out of school, coming out of high school, and going into college, and they decide now, well, I'm going to go become a lawyer, I'm going to learn the law, okay? They have no clue about anything about the law. They have no relationship, no framework, nothing in their brains to relate to what they're going to be taught. And they believe everything that they are taught. They believe they are taught that we are under Roman law, that this government was framed like Rome. This is what they believe. This is what they were taught. Okay? And so when you come to them, and they also believe that common law is trial court decisions. Okay? They believe that a judge has the power and the authority to rule a judgment over another individual. They believe those things. The judges don't have... Judges can only rule in equity courts. Okay, they can't make any ruling in a court of law. That's the people's job. It's called the jury. And they're not to interfere with that jury. But they froze the jury. They've interfered with the jury. They've taken the powers of the jury. And again, they're talking to ignorant people and they're telling them the things that are not true right from the very beginning, whether it be a trial jury, whether it be a grand jury. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing. They just tell them what they've been taught. So when you go talk to these people, and you start to tell them the truth of the matter, okay? Well, wait a second, buddy, they say to you. You have no clue what you're talking about. I went to school for this. I spent thousands of dollars for my education. They may not say that particularly, but that's their attitude. They refuse to listen to you. They, you know, as soon as you start talking, it's like, look at this, buzzwords out there, okay? A sovereign citizen means cop killer. It's exactly what it means because they defined it. That's what they say it means. They've called me a sovereign citizen. I had an FBI in my house coming, talk to me about me being a sovereign citizen. I'm not a sovereign citizen. It is true I'm a citizen of the United States. Well, we the people are all sovereign. We the people ordained and established the Constitution, okay? But, you know, the thing is there's buzzwords, keywords that they've created, and as soon as that word comes to play, automatically a mindset, a framework comes into their mind. They have been trained that way. They train judges in the lower courts that are not even lawyers, okay? You know, people that are in town courts, village courts, and maybe even city courts. They have no background in law. And they get elected, and at least as New York State they do anyway, they get elected by the people, okay? And then they have a prosecutor there, so if they need to know anything about the law, they have to turn to that guy. And that's a bar attorney to begin with. But there's a book out there, I believe we have it up on the website, okay? And a book work for judges. And it talks about these sovereign citizens. It talks about the problems that, and how to deal with it. And they're already ready for that because it's not even they're not there for any opportunity to consider anything you're saying. Because as soon as certain buzzwords come into play, mindset is there. They're shutting you down. They don't want to hear it. And now there are people who do wake up. Brent Allen Winters is one. He's an attorney. He went to school. To become a lawyer, and he's been held in contempt because of his positions. His license has been threatened. His way of life. Okay, they have to stay in line. It's very difficult for them. I've spoken to another lawyer not too long ago, maybe about 6 months ago, who actually left being a lawyer because he couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it anymore, and because he found the truth. But basically, they don't want to hear it. They're also governed by money. Money, 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 money. Everything is money. I mean, all these, you get these lawyers that don't know, they don't know nothing really, okay? You read their papers, there's a bunch of stupidity, okay? And things that they've just written over and over and over again in other cases, it doesn't go anywhere. And they think they can charge you $300-$500 an hour, okay? It's greed, greed, greed. That's all it is.
They think they're so smart, I don't think that the bar, passing the bar, could really be that hard when you measure against some of these lawyers out there, like the personal injury lawyers and immigration lawyers. I mean, what a joke, you know, and just who they allow to be a lawyer. I mean, pretty much anybody. I mean, anybody off the boat can come and be an American lawyer. It's just, it's unbelievable how the system has been used against us, and it's supposed to work for us. Something that I wanted to touch on that I don't know if we talked about it last week. I don't think we did, but I wanted to bring it up, is that I asked you, you know, name names. Who are these people? Who's doing this? Who's behind the demolition of the United States? You said the New World Order, but I think that, you know, if you go deeper than that, and that, you know, the blunt, honest truth are that these are Satanists. They are literal Satanists. They are actually worshiping Satan and death and destruction. And they have gotten a hold of all of our systems, law, medicine, education, government, entertainment, everything. They're at the top of everything. So while not every single lawyer, every single doctor are, you know, Satanists, they're carrying the orders of the Satanists out. They're acting as Satanists. They would never admit it, and they don't even know it themselves. But that's really what the problem is at the top of everything, we have Satanists, or even worse. I mean, I think that there's worse than Satan, and that's what we're dealing with. And they've totally inverted all of our systems. And that's the real issue, is the satanic infiltration of our country. And people, it's hard for people to really accept and believe, but there are about 15% of our population are Satanists, practicing conscious Satanists. And they are at the tops of things, and they have also infiltrated the churches and the temples and the mosques, and they have gotten the little people, regular people, the worker bees, to do their bidding. So that's where you see the bar lawyers and the vaccine doctors and, you know, the professors at schools and a lot of these judges. If you were to ask them, are you a Satanist? Oh, they'd be offended. Oh, my God, they'd probably even laugh. But they are Satanists. They literally, it's, you know them by their actions. And their actions are satanic. Therefore, they're Satanists. No, they don't know that. Their egos are too big, and they're too full of themselves, and they're too materialistic. And that's another form of Satanism, is materialism. So all these lawyers and doctors chasing paychecks and materialism, that's a form of Luciferianism. So there we go.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with any of that, but, you know, the levels ultimately is you got the useful idiots, okay? And that's probably about 20% of the population. Totally, totally ignorant. I mean, most concerning the things we talk about, of course. And most people are ignorant to a major degree in that, but these people are even more ignorant. You know, these are the people that watch CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS. So these are the people that get their news from there, and they believe everything. Then they have no clue on what's really going on. These are the people also you get, and mixed in with them, you get a lot of the illegals, millions of them. You get Antifa. You know, all of that is the lower level of the armies that they've kind of created. They're all useful idiots. Now, above them, of course, you come up, of course, eventually to the deep state itself. And the deep state is really manipulating and working all these things. But you go up from there, okay, then you have the elite. And the elite ultimately is, which is the New World Order, which is a lot of people really, but on the top of the New World Order is the elite that control this whole thing. And that's a small group of families. It's the Rothschilds, the Warburgs, that was the one I was trying to think of. You know, you had these basic families that have been around and part of this whole thing with the Rothschilds. Okay, the Rockefellers. Now, there's quite a few families involved, but they're the ones that really make these things up and what's going on. And, of course, you got the British Crown, all part of this. And I'm sure
that... They're vampires. I mean, they are literally Satanists. And mm-hmm. I think there's more of them. I think that it goes in so many, there's so many compartments. Like, yeah, they're at the top and they're relatively a small group. But, you know, it goes downhill from there. Then there's another group. And each group is hidden from what the other group is doing, so they don't realize really where it's coming from. Like all these bar lawyers, they think they're doing something good. if they only knew. But how can they not know? If they're so smart, or as smart as they think they are, how do they not know this stuff?
Because they're so smart. That's why they don't know this stuff. Their smart is really ignorance, of course. Look, it's fake lore. It's fake things. They've been convinced of things. You know.
So when did that happen? Like, when did this hijacking of our legal system, how did it happen, and why, and who?
Started in 1750, the King of England.
Oh, 1750, that long ago, huh? Wow.
Before we became a nation, they were already working on this. They were sending swarms of bar attorneys to the Americas in order to destroy the common law courts that we had brought with us when we came to this land. And they were there in the debates with our founding fathers. They were there all along. They've always been there. Look at the Federalist was the first party, the political party. And Jefferson destroyed the Federalist in the early 1800s after he became president. He eventually got them destroyed, and they disappeared for a while, and then they morphed back into what we know. I think it was 1819, I think. They morphed into the Democrat Party, and they were the ones that maintained slavery. They were the thorn in our side. They were the problem. They haven't changed. They're the same thing today as they were back then. Okay, and they're not happy with the government that we the people created, because they want the control, they want more. Again, they deal with us and treat us like chattel, which is livestock, and they buy and sell us on the market, so to speak. You know, SSQ accounts, which they created all this craziness. You know,
but it's our responsibility. They're going to do that. You know, the Satanists will be Satanists, but it's our responsibility to not accept it and to say no and to stop it. And that's what people are doing.
People have to be educated to do that. Look, and I don't go too often anymore, but I have gone to places. You know, I sit down and listen, and people talking, and then you got people typing and writing things and stuff. But they're all tweeting, and nobody seems to be really interested in going out and getting a real education. Very few people. That's why we have to get the critical mass to get the right amount of people that will come in willing to do the job. And then we have to teach our children duty.
There's a lot of now, like, anti-American sentiment that is, you know, permeating through people's consciousness. And, you know, that prevents people from wanting to learn more and from activating that. I mean, remember that American spirit that people used to have? It seems to be gone now. I mean, there isn't real strong American spirit about our documents and about our sacred.
Because they've had control of our schools too long. Okay, they're demoralizing our children for a very long time. I doubt very. Look, they removed the Bible from school to begin with. You know, if you don't know the king of the court and who the king of the court is, how can you know anything about who we are as a people? If you don't know we're a Christian nation, that we're under the laws of nature and of nature's God, and that the Bible is the focus of law. Okay, children don't know that anymore because they removed the Bible from school. We were morally minded people. We were very different than any other nation. We were giving people. We helped people. We had morals. Of course, you know, there was people who were murderers and different things. You have that in every society. But generally, the population was giving. Okay, and accepting. But they've destroyed all
and
that.
And intelligent. They were very intelligent. If you go back and read letters from, like, the 1800s and even before that, you know, the people writing, I mean, even the, you know, the high schoolers, their writing was so advanced. They were so much more intelligent.
Well, they only went up to the 9th grade, and with that they had a far better education than we did with 12 grades and even to college degree. Because they did really teach them the nuts and bolts and the things that the people needed to know. I don't know that they taught them enough about the Constitution and civics, but we lost it all. They demoralized our children. They bring in wokeism. Children are confused. They're lazy and fat. You know, they don't go out and play.
They feed them poison. All the school cafeteria food's all garbage.
And that started when I was a kid. They poured out, they made a big thing about cereal with lots of sugar. Cereal's good for you, you know. That's what started to destroy a lot of things in health. But in any event, you know, the children, they tweet. They're dumb. They don't train them in morals. Johnny's got two cats or something like that. We got a lot of sociopaths and psychopaths coming up through the school system. We're in trouble as a nation, okay? We are in trouble as a nation. And the only thing that's going to save us is education. And the two things that we the people need to do, we need to get enough people together to do these two things, okay? We need to get rid of the bar. That must go. We do need educators. We do need lawyers educated in the law, in equity, because those are specialty things, okay? And that's where they should be practicing. They can practice in a court of law, but they should be really assisting people, not necessarily running the case. But people don't know how to take care and run the case and use the lawyer as a reference point to help you in different things. But the two things that we can do to totally destroy this whole thing, and I've heard people say we can't do that. First thing is parties. We need to get rid of the party system. It's got to go. Oh, you can't do that. We have to have parties. We have to have people in this. You see, that's the problem. Just think about this, the stupidity of that whole thing, because George Washington laid this all out in his farewell address, that parties are going to be the destruction of this nation, that, you know, the psychopaths and the sociopaths will reach up and take control and change everything. And it's a constant thing because there's party bosses, party control. They've written up the whole thing and made the committee men, they statutorize them and put them into under the rules of the party, which is the rules of the
gangs. They may as well be gang members.
But just think about this. If you didn't have a party, and here's my case in a nutshell, if you didn't have political parties and you elected someone to go to Washington or to your state capital to represent you, then what were they going to do? They're going to go there and represent you because there's no party boss demanding and telling them what they have to do. They're not working, you know, together as a whole party like they're doing against Trump, trying to prevent anything good from happening. Okay, parties are the destruction of this nation, and we don't need them. And the case that could be made is very, very simple. And I just said it, and I'll say it again. It's in a nutshell. You send a person to Washington and there are no parties, they're going to represent the people that sent them. Because that's what they were sent to do. That's what they think they got to do. That's what they're supposed to do. But they get corrupt the moment they get into Washington
They want to be in their little clique and their little gang, the Crips and the Bloods. It's not any different.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, the other side, the other thing is the lawyers, okay? First of all, you know, even the United States Supreme Court has nothing to say about anything that goes in the courts of justice, with the exception of being champions of the Constitution, particularly the Bill of Rights, when someone is violated, okay? That's their basic main job as far as courts of law are concerned. Other than that, they're supposed to be in courts of equity, dealing with the decisions coming up from equity judges and equity decisions on equity cases. And equity cases are cases concerning commercial activities, concerning people working for different government agencies. It governs the government agencies. It governs the people working in those government agencies. You see, that's all equity. And equity is positive law. That's legislated positive law. And positive law means that it is under the rules of common law, because it's positive. It's equity is that which is supposed to be just. And just under our Constitution is the laws of nature and nature's God. So you see, even the equity is to be governed by the laws of nature and of nature's God. And even the equity is governed ultimately, it can be shut down or anything, by the people. It's called jury nullification. We can nullify anything we don't like that they write as a law, because we are the true lawmakers, okay? God is, of course, the true lawmakers above all, okay? He's the governor of the universe, you know? But, you know, these people, they think that they can make these decisions. They had no right or ability to decide that the Bible shouldn't be in school, that prayer shouldn't be in school. They had no power or authority to make those decisions. Okay, it has nothing to do with them. abortion. They have no power or authority to make those decisions. We know what the law is. It's the people who will apply the law. Okay? Yeah, I remember when I was very young, there was so much arguments going on concerning particularly abortion. Okay? And even the Bible in school, you know, a lot of, you know, the adult, I was a kid, I heard the adults talking about this stuff. And it seemed popular that the people were against all this stuff, of course, because we were morally minded people. We did understand something, okay? But we lost all that. We don't have an education no more. They want us to be idiots, and that's what they're bringing out of the schools, idiots. And I doubt anybody in school any of these schools are saying the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, and how dumb are we? Just think about this. The Constitution is crystal clear that every agency, every government agency, you know, every state government, okay, county government, town government, anything, they all are under the same law. They must guarantee a Republican form of government. Now, what the heck is going on down in New York City with this Mandami guy, okay? And they got a lot of people coming into all kinds of powers, even into our legislators in Washington, congressmen, maybe even senators, okay? And all these people, they're bringing in communism, they're bringing in socialism. Wait a second. We have a Republican form of government. You're to guarantee not a socialist form of government, a republic. Are we that dumb that we can't even know that one thing? I hear people talking, complaining. Look, there's a lot we can do. That's against the law. That we can apply. We could take that up to the Supreme Court and apply it. Okay? And that's a case we intend on bringing up at some point in time. Maybe it's actually, I think it's even in our papers already, the Republican form of government. So, you know, the problem is, though, is ignorance, and therein is the problem. We need enough people that are ready to really put some time aside and start to learn what they need to learn, step up, get involved, and be the 150,000 people or whatever it is that we need to take back this nation nationwide. Because we only need, we got 3,000 counties, okay? And if each county had maybe 50 people in it that were involved, then that number, I think, is running to about 150,000, something like that. And that's all we need. That's all we need to take this nation back. Do you know?
I would focus on the red states, because the blue states are so watered down with foreigners that, I mean, it's not even like America. I mean, you go to certain places in L.A., you can't find an American.
Yeah, well, the message goes out to all states, but you're right, the blue states might be the ones, but that's not necessarily true either, because look, unfortunately, I live in a blue state, okay? I live in New York, and I'm really beside myself, because my growing up, even Democrats, when I was growing up, they were mostly Kennedy Democrats, and if you look at Kennedy, you'd think he was a Republican, you know, of today, okay?
Right.
And, you know, his nephew, of course, joined. He was a Democrat, and he came in to work with the Republicans. I don't even know if he changed his parties. That's irrelevant, though. The point is he sees, he knows, he understood, and he sees the opportunity. Okay? But the thing ultimately is that the people, we need enough people who will educate themselves. I've said this many times, okay, and this is very important to understand. Every single county is controlled by four people. Okay, and every state and every all those counties come together within the state are controlled by four people. Okay, and then you take all these states collectively brought together. I don't know how many people are up on the top end that control all things, but ultimately I would think it again gets back to the leadership head, which again brings us back to four people. Okay, and
who
that's
are those four people? Who are they?
Oh, well, they're the chairman, the co-chairman, the secretary, and the treasurer. Of each county, you know, when the committeemen come together, and again, the committeemen was a process that our founding fathers put together and had used, and it was around before them too, of course. But it came over in the very beginning into the Americas. But they had what was called the Committees of Safety, okay? And the people in the Committees of Safety were called committeemen, okay? Paul Revere was a committee man. He was on the Committee of Correspondence. And there was a lot of people on the Committees of Correspondence. There was more than Paul Revere running around that the British were coming. He was just one of many. But the thing is that They've taken that system, they statutorized it, they brought it under statutes, they brought it under the control of party bosses, they seized control of the whole system, they oscillate power. You know, committeemen, just like Congress, okay, every committeeman in America is only, they come in for 2 years. After 2 years, that's it, they leave. Everybody goes, gone. And then you get new committeemen coming in. All right. Now that's how.
That's a little bit scary because who are the new people coming in?
Here's the point. You see, first of all, that's the statutory process, but it was helpful, and I don't know why they did that because it was injurious to them. What they did then is they oscillated the power. For instance, here in New York State, you know, we got let me see if I remember. It's 62 counties, so 31 counties. Go out on an odd year, and 31 counties go out on an even year. So they're always in power on the state level. They oscillate the power back and forth, and they're never out of power. All right. Now I don't know how they do it in other states, and to some degree they have other ways. I'm sure that they, you know, cheat the system and make sure they have control. But they certainly do have control. The Republican Party and the Democratic Party have control of the whole system, what's going on. But the thing is that the committeeman, the true committeeman, is unlimited in numbers. You don't get elected. You're just one of the people who want to exercise in your unalienable right of government by consent by becoming a committeeman and joining a committee of safety or starting a committee of safety, learning the process and the procedures of the committees of safety. That's what all these books are about. Okay, so, you know, again, the problem is we got to get the people. We need critical mass, or we need a lot of money. You know, someone comes up with a lot of money, not only can we do a lot of things like start the textbooks for school and get a lot more involved in the courts. Doesn't matter whether we lose or not, we're making a case, educating the people, and then being able to get out there to get that critical mass. Money can buy you the critical mass because we can advertise. We can get the word out. Right now, our advertisers are the people who hear us, the people who listen, whether you come to the meetings here on a Monday night or you listen to the meetings on YouTube or Rumble, okay? Those are the people that are our advertisers. They should be out there on X or whatever social media you go to and talk about National Liberty Alliance, talking about the way that we can save this nation, talk about let's make America a republic again. You know, get them out to National Liberty Alliance. Show them the courses that we have, the free courses, the law courses, and then a higher course. We have a higher education here. We don't even talk about the higher education. It's underneath the education tab. It goes far beyond even the things that we should know. Okay? And people will take that education further if that's their desire and they have the time. You know? But, yeah, it's a mess. Anyway, we got to move on. I got one other person in the queue. And we don't have much time left, so. All right, good call. Thanks. Okay, we'll take our last caller. Coming in under as anonymous, what's your first name in your state? Maybe next time you come in, are you coming in on an app or a phone?
I'm on a phone.
Okay, all right. What's your first name and state?
Yeah, my name is Elizabeth. I'm in Arizona.
How you doing, Elizabeth? I know you.
I'm glad you're there. I really wish more of the people who come on this call would take the course because it would really help, but that's part of the problem. I have a situation that, you know, I'm starting to come into situations because I'm learning. I'm working on something about consolidating some of my debt, and I've got a company that they're nonprofit, and they're very good. They seem like they're very much referred to, so but they want me to sign, you know, they want my permission to take my credit score and look at my credit, and they want me to do a DocuSign, and I told them that I really don't trust DocuSigns, and I've experienced them, and I've also learned about them, and you know, they're very loose, especially with AI and emails. And I've read stuff, and these people who are interviewing people who are like fascinated with themselves about all they know about AI, and you know, they're just in all this crazy stuff. they talk about us like we're just commodity, you know, like we're data, and they can use our data. And it's like, all I want to do is sign something. So I asked this one gentleman about, I'll tell you what, please send me via email, you know, an application or, you know, request for what you need. And I'll fill it out, sign it, get it notarized and get it back to you. And he's like, you know, it's like, that's not even in his vocabulary, you know, cause he's younger and he probably doesn't handle paper very much, but I've looked it up, and DocuSign, I mean, some of the shareholders are like BlackRock, you know, and Vanguard. And it's like, you know, they take our data, you know, and it was like one friend on the line here a while back signed a tablet, and they took her signature. This was a different company, but they took her signature and just used it on whatever they wanted. And, you know, so I look like a stick in the mud, you know. And I don't care what I look like because I know better. It's just I get frustrated.
If you want your business, they'll send a document where signatures are certified on both sides, and that's it. Then it can't be used anywhere else. And, you know, in a court of law, none of that will really stand up, although they do make it stand up, and it may be an uphill battle to make
That's because the bar is still here.
Yeah,
and until we finally lose Britain, which was what that whole freedom thing was about, that wrestling thing that was required by admiralty law somehow. I'm still learning about it, but we're not going to be under that anymore. But the bar has got clinches on everything. And
right.
So that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, yeah. And so I'm telling them what I need to do. And so I'm going to be talking to a supervisor, and I'm actually very, you know, I like people, you know, unless they abuse me, then I don't like them too much. So, and I get away from them, but I'm going to do my best to see if I can work something out where I am able to do. My home insurance let me do it. And, I'm sure that their system didn't like it, but, you know, I'm not going to be part of that system if I can do anything I can help myself to not do.
Well, again, you know, look, at the only way this nation is going to be brought back on track is by getting rid of bar, the bar, ultimately the bar schools, okay, that's what we got to get rid of, okay, and political parties. If we don't get rid of...
ABA, the whole ABA, though, because they're not going to, I mean, this is really evil.
People solve these problems if they get educated and get involved on the county committee of safety. And, you know, a county committee of safety is not an island, okay? Yeah, you work in the work in your county, but there are things that you have to do that you have to work with other counties on because they maybe have the same representative or the same problems, okay?
Right.
And then you also have to work with other counties because you got to work on the state level. Okay, and then you got to work state to state. You see, that's the purpose of the Committee of Correspondence. Okay, every county committee of safety eventually has to have a Committee of Correspondence, and that Committee of Correspondence needs to be communicating with the other county committees, the other county committee correspondents, and start to see the problems that they need to work on together. You know, and we teach all this stuff. It's all there for the learning.
I'm learning it. It's just that right now it's still in kind of a hypothetical stage because we haven't, you know, I think probably by the end of summer, maybe there'll be some things that have been brought up. I've been reading, I read about it every day, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if people don't believe it. And I'm just... You know, I was thinking about this today because when the children of Israel were at Kadesh Barnea, and God said, here, you know, they sent the scouts in, they come back. It's like, oh, God, we're like grasshoppers. Like, we're not going to be able to fathom this. And God, you know, they doubted God. And I think it's kind of like what's going to happen. We have to let God clear the ground and do this. But, you know, we've had so much religious abuse in our country in the last 150 years and before, but it's like people they work so hard, they're so tired, they'll tell you, know, just give it to me, I'll sign it, you know, and then they go on, and it's like, this is just, you know, We don't know who we are because we don't know who God is.
Well, that's absolutely true. We don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really love myself until I really realized how much I love God, and sometimes it scares me how much I love God, because God is real, you know. But I'm not preaching. I'm just, you know, but it's like we have to know when we're walking into this stuff that we're going to get people who don't believe in the Constitution. They don't want anything to do with it. Well, then, hey, step aside, you know. I mean, we can't do that, you know. But I don't know what that looks like yet. It's all really hypothetical. I'm just trying to figure out how to do a signature, a doctor sign. Yeah.
It shows their pure ignorance when they want to get rid of the Constitution. They have no clue. If only they understood the debates that went on, the concerns, the considerations. What kind of a nation do we want to become? How are we going to form our government? What is the law? Who are we going to be under? Who's the king of our court? You know, all of these things were thought about by our founding fathers and debated in the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers, okay? And, people don't look at that. They don't know, okay? They don't know. That's why. Look, ignorance is what's going to kill us, okay? Ignorance is what's going to destroy us. And of course, it's the bar and the parties that are really working on that to do that. Let me just see if I can read this real quick. I want to read this again. This is Thomas Jefferson, and he said, "If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. Self-government is not possible unless the citizens are educated sufficiently to enable them to exercise the oversight. It is therefore imperative that a nation do it, that a suitable education be provided for all its citizens. I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of the abuses of constitutional power. Educate and inform the whole mass of the people. They are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty. An enlightened citizenry is indispensable for a proper functioning of a republic. If you're not, this is a nation, you must be educated in order to exercise your unalienable right of government by consent, and it's your duty to exercise every right we have concerning the control of our government, which includes the courts, to bring them back under the thumb of we the people." But again, this is the message we have to get out. In the beginning, it's only going to be done by a certain handful of people. That's why we have to get critical mass, to get a large enough handful of people to get involved, to do the things that have to be done. Everyone else will follow along eventually as time goes on. We will bring proper education back into the schools, and the children will grow knowing that they've given something that nobody has ever given before. They got liberty. They got rights. They got the ability to control their government, and they have a duty when they come out of school to get involved, maybe to go into the service, definitely to join a committee of safety and to participate in the maintenance of our country and governing the governors. So this is, again, there's no other way. There is no other way. It's going to be short-lived, if the world continues on, I do think the Lord's coming soon, but if the world continues on, okay, uh-huh. All the work that Trump has done, all the work that his administration done, will eventually be lost because the people are not educated. They don't know. We had far better than the people we have bringing our country back. We had our founding fathers who developed and put this together, and we lost it all. We lost the proper education, a Jeffersonian education that he talked about. We lost it, okay? We're trying to give it to people, but the government's not going to give it to you. You know, the government to control schools are not going to give it to you. Unfortunately, even private schools aren't going to give it to you because they're ignorant and don't know themselves. They don't understand. We're the lawmakers. We have the power. We have the authority. But people have no clue. No clue. No clue at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we got to train the people. All right, if you got a final thought, say it. We got to close down.
I'm just trying to keep somebody from taking my signature away because they're trying to take away our signature.
Well, look, they want your money anyway. They want you to get involved. They want to consolidate it and make the interest from their end, and that's fine. Yeah. So they will eventually, you know, will probably come up with a paper for you to sign and do it lawfully. So
right.
It probably happens. But with that, I want to mention one more time, we brought this up in the early part of our program tonight, especially for those who came in a little late. We have a paper here. It's a flyer, National Liberty Alliance flyer. We read through it earlier. If you didn't wasn't here and didn't hear it, you can download our MP3, or you can go on Rumble or YouTube and watch the MP4. But look at this flyer I made today, particularly for the purpose of the 4th of July. It's an opportunity for us. If everybody was to, you know, run off 100 flyers or more, you're going to be at probably a parade or some, 4th of July event somewhere. Get some people together that are, you know, like-minded. Let them see the papers. Let them work with. Let this one hand out 100. That one hand out. Get these papers out. Get people to come to the website through these papers, okay? And this is the opportunity. People are in a patriot mood. This is the time to get a paper like this out. Now, this paper we will be sending out, and I'll probably send out an email, a mass email to everyone attached, but I'll also give them a place where they can go online and you know, download it off of our website. But I'll probably also attach it to the email also. And also, one more time, I want to make the point that we're going to have Sheriff Dar next week. Get the word out. People, you know, many people as possible should come to that Monday night meeting next Monday and have the opportunity to hear Sheriff Dar talk about power and the authority of the sheriff and the Constitution and the liberties and so on. So, all right, with that, we're going to end the program for the night.
You have a good night, sir.
Thank you for coming, everybody. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Get out the word. We need to get the word out. So.